In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength, but you refused. Convicted by today's reading from Isaiah, which I just excerpted for you, today's sermon will be something of a personal confession to you all, that Advent, Christmas, and New Year's is a really tough time of year for me. And I wish to make my confession to you in hopes that some might identify with my anxiety, and by God's word, we all might move forward towards a cure. And here's my confession. I am addicted to hurrying, to staying busy, to accomplishing things, such that it is very hard for me to relax and rest. And of course, I'm like this at all times of the year. It's just that in this season, my compulsion is highlighted. It's highlighted in this winter season because nature's calendar begs us to see that the harvest is done, that for a time our work is over, and it begs us, like winter all around us, to lie dormant and to rest and repent with peace. And not just nature's calendar, but our spiritual calendar. In the season of Advent, the church calendar begs us to fast and repent and to let go of our ways, to wait patiently for Christmas and God's new way. So this is the season where nature, God's creation, where God's church and his calendar and the Holy Scripture, God's word, tells us to repent and rest. But I confess to you, it comes very difficult to me. And for those of you who are like me, who desire peace and rest, and know we need it, but we struggle to achieve it, the prophet Isaiah in today's reading has a great verse to memorize. It goes like this: For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength, but you refused. So my compulsion to overwork and hurry is not just a humble brag so I can tell you all how much I work. It's a real sin which causes me and perhaps many of you real suffering. And the first step in any sin is confessing it. So allow me to give you a few more humbling details of my compulsion to overwork. I'm on vacation on these last days of the year, and it's the last days of the year because it's so hard for me to take vacation when I should at other times of the year. I have to let go and let God, but I can't. And then on this vacation so far, I've worked on the e-blast and the bulletin and this sermon, and I've had parishioners I've met with in need and diocesan committee meetings. Okay, fine. Lots of people are busy lots of the time, especially in this country. And those of us who are entrusted and compensated as leaders, we have to get the work done whenever it needs to be. But here's where I get into trouble. Because sometimes I go looking for work on top of the work that finds me. For example, why did I decide, right before my vacation, to switch payroll companies so the church would save a few dollars, knowing I'd have to work on it through vacation? Why, on my vacation days of rest, did I take on the project around the house of changing every single light bulb inside and outside? Why did I do that on my days of rest? I could go on. And I confess to you that the reason I'm compelled to keep busy all the time is because it's uncomfortable and it's painful for me to stop hurrying, to stop being busy, to stop accomplishing things. And there's lots of reasons for this, more than one sermon. But one is, if I do stop, I know I'll have to let go of my need for self-reliance and control, and I'll have to deal with the many more things that are out of my control. I'll have to set aside the trivial problems and wrestle with the big ones, the long-term changes forced by COVID-19, for example. I'd have to face the suffering in Armenia. I'd have to face personal relationships which need repair and time. And instead of the easy fix of changing a light bulb, I need to face things I still can't fix, because unless I repent, I'm still part of the problem. And instead of blaming work for my lack of time, I'll have to admit that I am responsible for my time, and too often I simply fail to prioritize the ones I love, my God, and my deepest self. In a word, I know that hurrying and overwork is no good for me, for my family, or for God, yet I do it anyway, and there's a great definition of sin. A sin that is something that comes from our adversary, the evil one, and this sin is especially tempting during this Christmas season, right? Someone said that the evil one has made it his business to monopolize three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. He will not allow quietness. So it's no surprise that in this beautiful season of Christmas, of the coming of our Lord, a season of rest, repentance, and waiting, the evil one doubles down on his distracting presence with noise, with hurry, and crowds, because the evil one is always tempting us with cheap imitations of God's great gifts. But let us not be fooled, and let us be healed. Like many things in life, hard work and keeping busy are great virtues when they're in their right place. But all virtues become vices when they fail to serve greater goods and when they fail to serve God. God's creation, God's church, and God's word in this season all beg us to rest, reflect, and repent. And this isn't a voluntary lifestyle choice, this is a matter of life and death. As Catholic Saint Vincent de Paul said, the one who hurries delays the things of God. The one who hurries delays the things of God. And the more overdeveloped we are in our self-reliance, the more underdeveloped we are in our reliance on God and his provision for us. So instead, let the prophet Isaiah's words be our repeated refrain for prayerful rest this Christmas season into a new year. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength, now and always, and unto the ages of ages.